All right, we were watching Lyft's earnings after they reported actually go up after hours. And right now you can see they're still trending higher, almost 3%. We want to talk about what they did correctly, where they need to improve with Santosh Rao, Manhattan Venture Partners Head of Research. It's good to have you here. And they're heading in the right direction. They're not there yet. I mean, everything is an adjusted EBITDA profit. Their revenue quarter over quarter increased 13%. But what's standing out to you as they did this very well? And then let's get into what do they need to compete with Uber?
Well, they don't exactly need to compete with Uber head to head. You know, this is a pure play model, and that's been their best factor. You know, Uber is a different play. It's a global play. It's a platform play. It's a super app play. So that's a different company altogether. Lyft is a pure play in the best in a country that has the best unit economics, which is riders, mobility. And so they're doing very well. So this quarter was great. Beat or in line with all the metrics that we had in line. Active riders are going up sequentially, which is fine. That is what we want to see. EBITDA is right in line with what we had. So that means they're managing their costs very well, and the revenues are growing. The top line revenue numbers was pretty much in line with what we had. So I think they're executing very well. They're in line. That was the whole thing with this. We wanted to see things improving sequentially, riders coming back, and managing costs and EBITDA going up gradually. So I think a pretty good quarter.
And as you look at this, I mean, it's hard when you compare to where they were in 2020, because the pandemic was so devastating in so many ways. And it wouldn't be fair necessarily to compare to 2019, because they were still, I mean, basically a newly public company. But what do you want to see as they go forward? I mean, the trend is correct, but is there a specific metric and number that you can give us that they should be aiming for?
Yeah, I think they need to keep their value proposition. I mean, they need to manage their costs much better, or continue to manage their costs like they are, because the driver costs going up, the whole value proposition is that they're cheaper than taxis and cheaper than other modes of transportation. And they essentially want to replace the need to buy a second car or even the first car down the road. But that's what they want to replace. They want to be the mobility for everyone anytime. So I think to get there, they need to maintain their cost structure. They need to maintain their value proposition. So that's the whole thing. And then on the other side, they need to grow. Labor shortage is a big factor. They need to get the drivers back and hold on to them. There is competition going on. Uber is giving a lot of incentives. It's a commodity business at the end of the day, and pricing is the key factor. So you need to manage that. They have pricing power at this point, so they can raise prices a little bit, but they need to manage that. They need to calibrate that. At the end of the day, they need to grow their top line more and more and continue what they're doing. They're on the right track coming out of a nasty pandemic.
Where do we stand in the ongoing battle over California? What is it, Prop 22? And the impact that that could have on their ability to get drivers. The only experience I can share with you is that we were on a trip and we were in San Francisco and could not get a Lyft driver because there were none available. Not that they weren't. They just weren't operating at the hours. It was an early morning flight and there were none to be had.
Yeah, that is a huge problem. The wait times have gone up, the prices have gone up. So it's a tough environment out there. But right now, people are just coming out into the open. They're beginning to travel. So I think that's not an issue at this point. So I think they won that proposition. So they will continue to, and they'll wage that battle everywhere else. And they believe that they can win everywhere. So at the end of the day, drivers want independence. They want to be freelancing. They don't want to be tied to a job. And that was the whole idea of this gig economy. So I think that proposition, that factor will help them everywhere, because that's a big thing. So yes, there are contract laws. So they need to, and they are giving up, they are compromising. They've given up some. So they're giving the benefits in certain areas that are needed. So there's some give and take going on. And I think at the end of the day, they will reach a point where they will get what they want and the regulators will get what they want. They need to in the end, because this is so much a part of our lives now.
But in places like, for instance, major markets like New York City, they are not always cheaper than a cab, and there are limits as to the number of drivers and the hours that they can drive. Are they going to be able to get around that?
Yeah, but there are other factors too. It's not just about the cost. It's about safety. It's about availability. Don't take this recent few months and all that in terms of availability. In general, they've been available most of the time, more than taxis. They've been safer. You can send your kids on them and all that stuff. So there's more than the cost factor. You have to factor in the safety factor and the access part. And they go anywhere, anytime. So I think that's a big factor. So it's more than the cost factor. Cost is important, but there are other factors as well when it comes to Uber and Lyft.
Appreciate your talking with us about that. Santosh Rao, Manhattan Venture Partners Head of Research. All the best to you.